Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by 1-800-DENTIST. If you've had dental work done, then you know how important it is to have an awesome dentist, especially one that's up on the latest technology. Dentists with CEREC technology, that's C-E-R-E-C, can create a crown in just one office visit. It's much more comfortable. No return appointments, no gooey trays or gagging. No challenges trying to eat while wearing an uncomfortable temporary. You heard me right. A dentist with CEREC technology makes your dental experience as easy, fast, and comfortable as possible. To find a dentist with CEREC technology, call 1-800-DENTIST today and speak to an expert. Or book your appointment online at 1-800-DENTIST.com/PMT. That's 1-800-DENTIST.com/PMT. 1-800-DENTIST, over 9 million people have already found an awesome dentist. Why wait? Call or visit 1-800-DENTIST.com/PMT today. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Black Tux. Looking great for a wedding or special event has never been easier with TheBlackTux.com. With high-quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your door, The Black Tux gives guys a new way to rent, and The Black Tux offers free home try-on so you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. You never have to leave your house. Plus, it's completely done online, so no trips to the tux shop. TheBlackTux.com lets you create your look or choose from tons of stylists. Selected outfits start at just $95. These modern fitting suits are made from fine Italian wool, the highest quality on the rental market. If you have any questions or issues, their expert customer care team has your back every step of the way. After ordering your suit, it will arrive full 2 weeks before your event, giving you time to make sure everything fits. And when the event's over, just drop your rental back in the mail. So to get $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/PMT. That's theblacktux.com/PMT for $20 off your purchase. Experience a new way to rent. Let's go. Bye.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Friday, April 7th, and the Masters are back. A tradition unlike any other, except for all the other golf tournaments that are exactly the same.
You're absolutely wrong, and here's why. The grass at the Masters is green. It's Ooh, very green.
Azaleas.
Have you seen the greens?
Yes.
Just incredible.
It is Masters week. I actually do love the Masters, even though I do think that they do this thing where they don't sell any of their shirts and they don't put anything on TV, and it makes you think it's so special. It is special, but it's a little bit over the top.
I don't think you love the Masters. I think you love the Masters song. And that the specific color pattern that they have on TV, the combination of the red, the yellow, and the green that makes you fall asleep.
I do.
So easily.
Saturday and Sunday, the Masters are fantastic. That's something I would never want to give up. Before we get into some more Masters talk, Dustin Johnson, obviously the big one.
Right.
We have Curt Schilling. This is breaking news. Curt Schilling is going to call into the show. We're not ready to talk to him yet, so let's put him on hold. Hold on. Let me hear him.
He's ringing in right now, actually.
Hello, this is Boston Sports.
Hey, it's Curt Schilling.
Okay, Kurt, hang on for just 1 second. I'm going to patch you through upstairs. We're having some trouble in the phone system.
No worries.
Stripes and bright stars. All right, so that was Kurt. We're going to put him on hold. We're going to have him sit on hold for a minute.
That song sounded familiar to me. Was that Beyonce singing the national anthem?
Yeah, that was Beyonce singing the national anthem at Obama's inauguration.
Oh, okay.
One of Kurt's favorites, I'm sure.
Fun.
So he'll be on hold. We'll get to him in a few minutes. Before we do, let's talk some more Masters. So Dustin Johnson, out of the tournament.
Yes.
He allegedly fell down a staircase with socks on. Never walk with socks on hardwood floors.
Just never walk.
Yeah.
That's the lesson to take.
That's your lesson, yeah. So he went out there. He tried to gut it out, and I guess he was like, nope, can't do it.
How many holes did he make?
Zero.
Zero holes. But he went out to the first tee.
He went out to the first tee. He should have realized that if you're in true Tiger Woods fashion, he should have winced and like keeled over, hit a couple shots.
That's it. No.
Maybe see if he gets like a birdie to start and then keep playing. And if not, then quit and withdraw. That's the Tiger Woods handbook.
That's a great point. Tiger Woods would never pull out.
Exactly. So Dustin Johnson, the other big story is some of the sports books not refunding the bets.
I would be so mad.
So mad.
So I've always noticed this when you put your bet in, it always says for this bet to count, like the game time temperature has to be above 40 degrees and the starting pitcher has to throw at least three. It gives you like a laundry list of things that have to happen.
Yeah, 55 minute rule.
Yeah, so in this one, I guess some sports books just don't have that at all, and you can bet on whoever. Like, I could go out there and put money on Hank to win the Masters, and they just take my money and be like, okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah, so I don't know why. I don't think you have anything you can do. You just can just sit there and be very mad.
You can complain, yeah.
Yeah.
I like my sports books to be idiot proof because I'm a big enough idiot with my bets already.
Right.
Like, don't enable me to hurt myself.
Don't
more.
Make it worse. Here's what I would do. I'd get to the bottom of it. So let's do that. We got some tips on what exactly happened to Dustin Johnson because we all agree we don't buy it, right?
There's something fishy going
on here. Something a little fishy.
No, in today's fake news society, you can't believe anything.
So, right. So we actually got a lot of DMs sent to the Part of My Take account from people who are, I guess they're trying to do the right thing and give us a scoop on Dustin Johnson's injury. So we'll see which one of these is the actual correct one.
So this guy.
These are all rumors and alleged. Our lawyer might be listening.
He said, stay woke. DJ got popped for drugs or PEDs, and this back thing is all BS.
Oh.
With a bunch of thinking emojis.
Okay.
PEDs. Interesting.
Okay. He did win a couple tournaments. Didn't he win the last three tournaments he was in?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Which also, yeah. PED. He's done some drugs in the past.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right, this one's a lot more concrete. He said, got an inside scoop. DJ was sleeping with another golfer's girlfriend and got caught. Was thrown down the stairs by him. DJ didn't fall down the stairs.
Wow. Okay.
And, this guy said that Sergio's in for DJ. He said, how do you know? He said, a dude I kind of know said he may have failed another drug test, and this is a fake injury like his wrist injury in 2014, and he's suspended again.
Oh. Wait, so what's the Sergio in for him?
I don't know, that's how it started.
Did Sergio spike the
urine
sample?
Sergio in for DJ?
Sounds like Sergio pulled a Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan on DJ.
Well, Sergio should have realized. I mean, did Sergio think he had a chance at winning the Masters?
Well, he was going to stay on the course for 6 hours doing his little wags.
Yeah, Sergio was going to be like 10th on Saturday, but here comes Sergio.
He's going to get a ton of camera
there
time.
There he goes.
This
he
could
stinks.
Be a bookie conversation now that I'm reading it.
Okay.
Or like there's some kind of league he's switching.
Okay.
So I don't think that has anything to do with the
got it.
I still think Sergio is involved somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the fake injury, he's really suspended for drugs.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Any others?
A couple more. This guy said, I'm good friends with Wayne Gretzky's son. He said this past month has been really bad around their house because Dustin Johnson is about to pass Wayne's career earnings and become richer than him.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's, as a dad.
Alpha.
Dad to dad, that's a tough thing to see. When your daughter has another person in their life that's like more important than you.
Surpassed.
Green-eyed monster
no
comes out.
No longer daddy's little girl.
He goes on. He said he texted me last night and said Wayne and Dustin got in a fight at the top of the staircase and it got physical.
The just, great one.
Just thought you guys should know.
Wow.
Wayne was a fighter when he was in the league.
Eh.
I'll say this. A hockey player would not back down from the first tee.
No.
A hockey player would play 18 holes and shoot a 250.
It'd
be the grittiest thing of all time. All
right. I like that one.
Last one. My cousin is best friends with Dustin Johnson's agent. Said he's been pissed about his Adidas sponsorship and how little they're paying him.
Ooh.
This was all a long play to slip in his Adidas socks. He's not even injured. So he can get out of his contract and join Nike.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're offering him $10 million a year.
Wow. That is devious.
Layers.
There's probably a clause in his contract that says if you injure yourself with our equipment, mm-hmm. you can get out.
Yeah. No, Adidas doesn't have those little grippies on the bottom of their socks.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. That's tough. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. The actual Masters are still going to obviously go on. Darren Revelle is going to tweet about the menu. It's mm-hmm. the prices are cheap. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I heard.
Yeah, and the pimento cheese. No other golf tournament has a grilled cheese sandwich that everyone loves.
I'm going to back you up real quick there. A pimento cheese sandwich is not a grilled cheese sandwich.
I know
sandwich.
What it is, but I'm just
Sounds
saying.
Sounds like you don't.
I know what a pimento cheese sandwich is, but I'm guessing that it's not as unbelievable as everyone's making it out to be.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah. Before we keep going, let's check in on Kurt, because I know we have him on hold. Let's go back to him. Good afternoon, this is Brett.
Hey, it's Kurt Schilling.
Kurt, oh, did they sent you up here. My bad. I'm gonna put you into the studio. Are you calling in to what show?
Pardon My Take.
Okay, give me 1 second. I will
yeah, no
make
worries,
sure that gets linked up. I'm gonna put you back on no hold, worries. Okay?
All right.
All right, well, we'll get Kurt on in a minute. Just mm-hmm. everyone hold tight. Kurt Schilling is going to be on the show, so don't worry about that. Do we have picks for the Masters? We kind of missed the first round, so.
Are we really doing picks for the golf tournament?
I think we should and make a bet that we're not going to keep.
Okay, I don't know.
Rory.
Ooh, that's good. Jason Day.
Is Vijay Singh still on this tour?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Got it.
Bunch of golf guys here. other things we got going on, the NBA. Hank, LeBron James went into Boston on Wednesday night and basically reminded everyone, oh, yeah, this is my league. I own it.
Yeah.
So.
How long has it been since we've gotten the storyline going that Boston's the most racist city in America?
You bring it up like every show.
Okay. Can we bring it up right now?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to put it out there.
Why? Why?
No reason.
No,
just to stir the pot.
Here's what here's what I love about this. This was a classic LeBron game, too, because when LeBron says he doesn't care about a game, that's when he's going to rip your heart out. When he's like, regular season, who cares? Why are you asking me? I'm a champion. And then he's like, I really fucking care deep down,
yep.
and I'm going to go and drop a million points.
Yep.
And I was watching that game. When LeBron's like, I want to just go to the rack, there's literally nothing anyone can do.
No.
Maybe Kawhi, maybe, but
well,
other than that.
Here's the thing. You can't – if you foul him hard enough to not let him shoot his shot, it's a flagrant.
Right.
But if you foul him not hard enough and he can shoot a shot, he's going to get an one on you. He's in a tweener foul zone.
I'm going to say something nice about LeBron, so everyone just brace themselves right now, because I know we've lost a lot of listeners with all the jokes we make about LeBron.
Pussies.
He makes going to the rim and getting fouled and one look so fucking easy that you forget how hard it is.
If you took away the 30 feet around the basket, though, LeBron James would not be an all-time great basketball player.
True.
He relies way too much on driving and his jump shot.
On the high percentage shots.
And dunks and, yeah, anything inside the logo.
Hank, are you worried at all about having a starting point guard that gives up more points than he scores?
Yeah, it was basically a season deflating loss.
Yes,
any hope that was like, oh, maybe home court playoffs, not the year.
I'm actually getting replies from Kurt Schilling on my phone as we're taping.
Oh, all right, so let's check in on him one last time.
He's getting ornery.
Hey, this is Part of My Take. Is this Kirk Schilling?
Yep.
Okay, just 1 second, Kirk. I'm going to patch you through in three,
no worries.
Two, one.
All right, we'll get to him. We're going to get to Kurt Schilling. It's coming up in a minute. One other NBA point I wanted to throw out there. I'm happy that we wasted all that time talking about can the Pelicans maybe beat the Warriors, because they are now eliminated from playoff contention.
Oh, that's good.
So good trade by them. It still was a good trade.
Also, but a little glimpse into the future. We were just talking a second ago. It looks like your Bulls, the TNT Bulls, are going to get
the sixth seed.
Jimmy Butler, he's played like a 23rd, 24th best player in the league type this year, about exactly where I thought he would be.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
So
they might beat the Celtics.
Yeah, no, they're gonna get the Raptors. I was looking at the rest of the schedule. They play the Sixers like twice, the Magic. They should win their last four games. And I think the Hawks play like the Cavs and the Celtics. They play the Cavs twice. So they're gonna sneak up a spot. The Raptors are gonna be the 3 seed. The Bulls are gonna beat the Raptors because they own the Raptors. I'm not saying the Bulls are a better team than the Raptors. The Raptors are a better team overall, but the Bulls for some reason just own the Raptors. Then they're going to lose in 5 to like the Cavs or the Celtics, and it's going to be same as you ever was. Gar and Pax are going to get in front of everyone and say, this is a really successful year. We fought through injuries. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep rebuilding on the fly. Maybe we'll add just name some other – you know what? Maybe we'll bring Pau Gasol back because he's 2 years older now. Mm-hmm. So it's better.
Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
They'll get Marc in.
Yeah, he's not old enough yet.
Here are a couple things I've figured out about the NBA Eastern Conference. All the red teams are pretty much the same team.
Yeah.
They might win one playoff series. Like, mm-hmm. if you're the Heat, if you're the Raptors, if you're the Bulls, if you're the Hawks, you're going to win maybe one series and then you're done.
Yes. That's statistically true.
Bet against the red.
Named half the East.
Always bet against red.
Some red team is going to win a first round series.
Yes.
That's a fact. All right. Should we do it? Should we get to Curt Schilling?
Yeah, let's get to Kirk.
All right. So we're going to do a couple ads and then we will get to Curt Schilling, who we ended up just getting into a random Twitter war with today. You never know when life is going to end up going from blocked by Curt Schilling to Twitter war to on the podcast. So here it is.
Before we get to this interview with Curt Schilling, we're going to talk about memes. Memes aren't currency yet. They will be one day, but I want to talk to you guys how to earn some real extra cash. Back in the day, I had a lot of weird jobs. I did the Christmas tree salesman thing. I sold used dogs. I think I talked about that before. But a better way to do all this and make some extra money on the side is by using Uber. It's so easy to use. Uber is the ultimate side hustle. Driving with them is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another job. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it off. You turn it off on just like your car. If you have a few spare hours here or there, you can drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? Well, guess what? When you drive with Uber, you are your own boss, and you're a great boss. If you're driving right now, you could be earning right now. I'd do it. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber because you can cash out anytime with instant pay. With access to instant pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra money, if there's something special you'd like to buy, your car can start making you money. So go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber, uber.com/drive now. And I'm really, really excited because Better Call Saul is coming back. I was a huge Breaking Bad fan. I've been counting down the seconds for season 3 of Better Call Saul. And guess what? It's back. It's coming Monday, April 10th at 10, 9 Central. You can follow Jimmy McGill's devolution from a small-time attorney to Breaking Bad Saul Goodman on Better Call Saul. The series takes place roughly 5 years before Saul meets Walter White. Saul is known as Jimmy McGill. Jimmy's a more or less law-abiding, small-time attorney. He's hustling to champion his underdog clients, build his practice, and somehow make a name for himself. And he pulls a lot of pranks, too. It's awesome. Season 3 also sees the return of familiar Breaking Bad characters and settings. Things are getting pretty bad. Gus Fring is back, the chicken man. We all love him. He's got the delicious chicken. He's got the delicious meth, and he'll probably cut your head off, too. Fans of Breaking Bad recall that Gus and Hector are enemies. How will the Mike Hector Gus triangle play out? Well, there's only one way to find out. That's by watching Better Call Saul Monday, April 10th at 10, 9 Central. That's this Monday, April 10th at 10, 9 Central, only on AMC.
Hey, Kurt. It's Big Cat. How you doing, man?
What's up?
How's it going? Sorry, we've had some problems with the phones today.
Nah, no worries, man.
I know you got put on hold. Were you standing during it? It was the national anthem, right?
I was. I had my hat off, too.
All right, good. All right, so we have Curt Schilling on the show. It is a Twitter war we didn't expect to get into today. Before we get going, though, I want to set 2 ground rules. One is we're not going to edit any of this, so it's unfiltered, no fake news. Number 2, stick to sports.
Yo, God, yeah.
Okay.
You always do.
All right, so. So, the story.
No, wait, we got to preface another thing. I've already called you a dick.
Yes.
On Twitter, so I started it.
Actually, you brought race into it. You called me.
I did, yeah, your white ass. I apologize for that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, please don't do that. You don't know what color skin I have.
No, but I'm going to assume it's pearly white.
Well, it's pretty hairy, so depending how the light hits it, it might be brown.
It's the Pete and Cavilla back.
Right. Okay. Yeah, right. All right. Okay. So let's talk about the story that started this whole thing. We interviewed Theo Epstein. Uh-huh. We had the podcast out yesterday on Wednesday. The story that he told, and let me just say this, I have corroborated it now with multiple sources that the negotiation for your contract with the Red Sox in 2003, they were over your house for Thanksgiving, and you were going to the bathroom every now and then, and they were wondering, well, hey, why is he going to the bathroom?
Right, when, that's kind of not okay. really that
All
true.
Right. So the end of the story...
There's only one other source that could possibly corroborate, and that would be Jed Hoyer. So,
well, we don't give up our sources.
I don't give up my sources.
We're big journalists.
Right. I'm not going
to
do that.
Well, let's get to the facts.
Wait, your wife was there.
Right.
Ooh. Are you saying she couldn't be one of my sources?
Nope.
Okay. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Maybe got leaks in the old White House there.
Keep it in house.
Oh, keep it. Stick to sports.
So let's get the facts out. Then you said that you didn't go to the bathroom that much. How many times did you use the bathroom?
I don't think it was an above average period of time. I don't remember having any bladder issues. I don't have a mouse bladder. I can hold it. So I don't remember leaving the room that much. I mean, we left the room to talk. I left the room to talk to my attorney on the phone a couple different times, but not. Mm-hmm. I don't think I left enough to be questioned for it.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe in their world it was more than needed.
Well, they didn't accuse you of going to the bathroom. They said you were leaving the room. They assumed it was the bathroom, but it turns out you were actually reading the Negotiating for Dummies book.
Right. If I actually was leaving to go to the bathroom, I would have said, hey, I got to go take a piss. I wouldn't have, like, covered it up.
Okay. Kind of crude of you. All right. Well, now let me ask you this: the rule one in Negotiating for Dummies is never back down from a challenge. You have come on this show. You're just reading the book right now.
I you could say I probably am going by it. No, but let me. What I said about the book, and I think I might have I've told you. I said to somebody. I fired my agents in 1999. I had not used them before that for a couple of years, but I had negotiated my own contracts, and the only advice I got, I had a lawyer. I still have him, actually. And he's out of Philadelphia, so I used him for the legalese stuff in the contracts, and always had used him. But I paid him a flat fee because my perspective was, why would I pay somebody 5% to get money I can get myself? So,
because the traditional logic is they might be able to get you more than 5% on the contract.
Right, but I disagree with that logic based on on the past and my contracts in the past. But, but that's where the book came from, because when the Red Sox opened up the trade window for 72 hours, we were talking on the phone and laughing about the fact that I was going to be doing this face-to-face, and he overnighted the book to me, which... Mm. But it's a good story anyway.
Having the book.
I never denied the book.
Maybe you leafed through it a couple times, just took a look. Maybe when you were on one of your famous bathroom breaks, you took a look.
It was a gag. It was a joke. But again, I'll play along with the story because it is funny. The way Theo told it was funny as hell.
Okay. All right. Well, so the other things we wanted to talk to you about really quickly. One, you had us both blocked on Twitter until today.
Yeah.
Would you say that is a quintessential liberal safe space for yourself?
No, I would say because you both are being dicks.
How so?
Sounds like you're triggered.
Triggered?
I don't. Huh?
Are you triggered right now? Are you triggered?
That's the difference between liberals and conservatives. Conservatives don't get triggered. You just get punched.
You sound triggered.
I mean, you sound triggered.
You sound mad.
Triggered.
Are you mad right now?
No.
You sound mad.
And here's the thing. On my Twitter account, if you're not adding any substance to a conversation or a debate or an argument, you're just calling me names or whatever.
Well, so that's an echo chamber. You've created yourself a nice little echo chamber for yourself.
You could, Yeah, that's absolutely one way to go with it. I can't deny that. You could argue that.
Well, does it snow a lot in that echo chamber?
I always actually laugh at the fact that other people get pissed at what other people do with their Twitter accounts. I find that funny.
Right, like people that go out and block too many people on Twitter. Those kind of people.
Yeah, I don't block anymore. I don't block.
You stopped?
I
swore off?
Mute.
Yeah, so
I
think you blocked me because I'm a big meme guy. You're a huge meme. You're like the godfather of memes. I sent you a pretty fire meme not too long ago. I guess you liked it, but then you realized that you didn't like it. And so...
Which one was it?
It was about how kids should pull their pants up.
Yes.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, in the meme world, it was like a 6.
What are your favorite memes? Are you a Kermit sipping the tea? Or are you like a Pepe Le Frog guy or what?
I've kind of moved away from them.
You've evolved.
Much. What's that?
Would you say that you've evolved? It sounds like you're proving evolution right now.
Yes. I think that's a perfect word for it. I have evolved into, I think, more tweeter of substance than I was in the past. But I think that's a natural course when you make as many mistakes as I do.
So natural selection?
Yeah, natural course.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Darwinism.
So you believe in evolution now?
I've never said I didn't believe in evolution.
What did you say?
I said I don't believe in evolution in the sense that a dog mating with a dog makes a dog. No species ever created another species through procreation.
That's true, and that was a pretty good explanation of what evolution is.
Right, so dogs can't become humans.
Right.
Got it.
Okay, well then, fuck it. I'm not an evolution either.
Yeah.
Right, so, and here's the thing, big
mind blown.
I always assume that as a Christian, people just know that I don't believe in that bullshit anyway.
Right, but you just...
But people act shocked when I say it. It's like, when you verbalize it, people get all shitty about it.
Here's a great way to disprove evolution. If evolution was real, then how come premature ejaculation is looked down upon as not like an advanced sexual trait? Because it makes you breed faster and with greater precision.
Right.
You can't debate that. That's probably. That's a one comment argument. I think you win that right off the bat.
Did you ever settle your beef with Sidney Ponson?
No, there's no beef to settle.
You got in a fight with him on Twitter, one.
That's not a fight. Come on.
That sounded like a fight.
A full-fledged back and forth.
You got in a fight with fake Sidney Ponson on Twitter. True or false?
I'm trying to explain to you it wasn't fake Sidney Ponson.
You think that's the real Sidney Ponson?
No, I don't think. I know.
How do you know? Did he call you?
I just know.
How?
I know.
Tell us.
Trust me in that I know.
Okay. I mean... you know what? I actually trust you on this one. I think you're crazy, but this one?
That's fine. Fine. Listen, if crazy is what you got for me, I'm good at 50. I mean, my God. I can think of a lot of other shit you could call me.
Do you think your Twitter and the things you say on it are keeping you out of the Hall of Fame? And remember, stick to sports.
No, I don't care. No. I don't know. I don't care. Honest to God, I don't.
You can't tell me. No.
When you look at the fact that the Hall of Fame, I don't know if you guys know who Bill Conlon is, but Bill Conlon is in the Ford C. He received the Ford C. Frick Award from the same writers who are keeping me out due to my character. The guy was a pedophile. So if that group of people want to question my character, you know what? I can sleep at night.
Okay, but that's a fair point that I think there's probably a decent amount of hypocrisy when it comes to the Baseball Hall of Fame and how things get voted in. But don't tell me that you don't care.
I don't. I my hand to God. I can't do anything about it.
Come on. There are
things in my life I have no control over. And if I don't get into the Hall of Fame, will that make my career less? I still have my rings. I still have my trophies.
Okay.
I still have all the memories and the teammates and the experiences. The only thing I don't have is a plaque.
It's interesting.
If I need a plaque, I'm not a guy that needs a plaque to validate the things that I did on the field.
Right, but you get where I'm coming from when the fans out there, we get the lip service a lot from players where they're like, we don't care, we don't care. And deep down, I don't know as a human being how you could honestly say you wouldn't care about being in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Because I understand. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you a quick story. Bill Conlon came to me in late 90s. When Nolan Ryan went on the Hall of Fame ballot and got elected, He should have been unanimous, and he wasn't. And Bill Conlon was one of the people that didn't vote for him. And he came into me, and I called him out in the clubhouse, like out in front of everybody. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You don't vote for Nolan Ryan? What, you know? And he wrote this big article. He didn't vote for Nolan Ryan because in his mind, if Don Sutton wasn't a unanimous Hall of Famer, Nolan Ryan shouldn't be.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, so the Hall of Fame ballot's not a fucking platform for you to make a statement.
Right.
You're supposed to be voting on players' careers.
Also, and Nolan Ryan was like 45 years old at the time, and Conlon likes him a little bit younger.
Right. Well, obviously. that was where I realized, okay, I can't worry about this. And I know some of the writers, and I'm not talking about all, a lot of those guys are good guys. A lot of them haven't seen a baseball game in 15 years, and there are other ones that are just complete dicks. And so, you know, I can't worry about, I always try to tell my kids, don't ever try and live your life to please people that don't know you. I can't control that process. So when I say I don't care, my hand to God, I don't.
So,
and the hard part, Big Cat, for me, though, is that that kind of makes it sound like I'm diminishing what it is. The Hall of Fame is the place where the greatest players ever reside. But if Dale Murphy isn't going to get in, that, and Dave Win, or Fred McGriff, and I played with some Hall of Famers, you know, that I believe are Hall of Famers. You know, I'm okay with that.
Okay, but so do you think, let me phrase it a different way, do you think that you have the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame?
In my Hall of Fame, no.
Okay.
No.
Wow. Interesting.
Okay.
So you're being honest that you fell short.
Can you give me the litmus test?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to name names. You say yes or no to Hall of Fame, okay?
Okay.
Nolan Ryan.
Yes.
Ricky Anderson.
Yes.
Randy Johnson.
Yes.
Mike Mussina.
Ooh, I'd have to look at his numbers.
As soon as you pause, it's a no.
Yeah, I'd have to look at his numbers.
The Hall of Fame should be about people you look at and go, yep, fucking best ever, no doubt.
It's not the Hall of Very Good. A lot of times people forget that.
Right, and so that, I think I was pretty good. I think I was better than everybody in the history of the game in October.
But okay,
but was I a Hall of Famer? In my Hall of Fame, no.
Do you think it's and this is actually a question I've been pondering recently because it doesn't seem, if you look at all the pitchers right now that are active, how many of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame? It's not big. It's very, very few. Do you think it's too hard for pitchers to get in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's going to be harder because they're doing less.
Okay.
Right? You've got starters who go out and have a full season and have 180 innings.
Right.
I mean, that's the equivalent of having a vagina.
Ooh,
you know, I mean, as a starter, your job is innings. That was always the stat I'm most proud of in my career in 2001, I threw 306 innings. I mean, that's what I got paid for. And today, with the amount of money in the game and the amount of money they're investing in pitching, they coddle them in the minor leagues and they coddle them in the big leagues to protect the investment.
You're,
I get it.
You're not a vagina. You bleed once every 15 years, not once every 28 days.
Nice.
I bleed. Believe me. I know. But
do you? Do you really?
Ooh.
Huh?
Do you really bleed?
Hmm.
Well, I do things that, I mean, I'm still working hard enough to.
Do you just, is it ketchup?
No. Never was.
Okay.
What is your favorite type of ketchup?
Yeah, if it was ketchup,
Heinz,
it would be Heinz.
Heinz.
Okay, okay, cool.
So you, Curt Schilling, breaking news: Curt Schilling, big fan of Heinz ketchup.
Loves puts it. He puts it on everything.
Good, everything. Yeah. Anything and everything.
That's not macaroni and cheese. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
A lot of people have talked about your video game, your experience dealing with developing those. But what they haven't talked about is what the game was going to be like. I want to know like what the different characters were and what the objective of the game was going to be.
So two things. First off, in my life, the one thing that I'll take to my grave with me is the failure at 38 Studios. That was probably the most painful thing physically and emotionally for me ever, which is why it's always kind of a sore spot in the sense that I get you can make fun of me for losing $50 million and for taking a shot at trying to do that, but I also had 300 families that were directly affected in a very negative way that I gave a shit about. And so that was why that's always kind of a personal one for me. But I get it. You know, I don't know if you guys know, I told Port, I couldn't fucking stand Portnoy.
Yep.
I despised him.
Join the club.
Because the first thing I ever knew about him was that he bought a piece of an article of clothing.
And your soap. He bought your soap.
Yes, but he bought a robe that I never knew existed. Somebody made it and sent it to me. And my It got sold. He bought it, took a picture of himself in it. And it was at a time when I was in a bad place. And I was so pissed.
So it was an estate sale. And actually, our producer, Hank, bought your soap. Hank bought your soap. He owns your soap.
Yep. I still have a pair. I got a pair of socks, too, and a Wheaties box with David Ortiz on it.
Wow. So do you feel yeah. cucked at all knowing that our producer owns your soap?
No, socks. But it was ill. After I got to meet Port and I did this show with him, you know, I realized, you know, it's a personal thing for me. So, yeah, it's something that bothered me. But in relation to the game, It was. I don't know. I know you guys play games, but I don't know how much you do. World of Warcraft is the genre the game was in, and it was groundbreaking. And I know it was because the things that we were doing still hadn't been done 5 or 6 years later. Mm. And I had an amazing team of people too.
Do you think that Lincoln Chafee was kind of appropriating meme culture?
Fucking idiot.
But when he purchased all those frogs, that's kind of like the Pepe, Kermit. He's kind of the modern day Twitter. Was he astroturfing you?
Lincoln Chafee was. I don't even know where to go with that one. I mean, all he had to do is. I want to stay in sports.
Stick to sports. Yeah,
you're
right.
Sports. We're going to stick to sports. Let's see. What else we got? You had one. Yeah. Oh, you go ahead.
I don't want to blindside you. We have somebody that is. He's been waiting on the line. So I noticed on your Twitter account that you alluded to maybe some aspects of the Syria gas attack was maybe a false flag. I'm not here to impugn your sources. I'm sure you have good connections intelligence community. But the claim actually received an accusation of plagiarism by a friend of our show. He's actually a regular guest that we have on a lot. It's Alex Jones. Alex just called in, and so he has a comment for you.
Sure.
Eat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. Listen, fuckhead. You have fucking crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn fucking head.
Stop pushing
your shit.
Ooh. He sounds bad. Alex, we're going to cut him out because that's too much swearing.
Oh, that sounds like him.
Comment?
That's pretty much.
He called you a fucker. Comment?
Yeah. A fuckhead.
Well, yeah. Come on, dude. I played 10 years in Philly. I've heard a lot worse than that.
Oh, true. Oh, actually, speaking of that, let's end this interview with this. One of our good, good friends, and we have him on the show all the time, Nails, Lenny Dykstra. So
one of my favorite teammates of all time.
Okay, so you were in a locker room with him. He's a big locker room talk guy. Like,
yep.
Tell us some Nails stories, and then we'll call him and do a little locker room talk for what?
Okay, this is one of my favorite stories of all time. So when he came back in '93, he was just jacked. I mean, he was built like a brick shit house. I mean, he walked around the locker room with his sliding shorts on and nothing else all the time because he was huge. He had gotten really big that winter. So one day we're sitting in the locker room, and you have front office personnel coming in and out of the clubhouse, and one of one of our media, the I can't remember the name of it now, but she handled media for us on the team. She's a short little lady. She comes into the clubhouse, and we're standing there, and Lenny's sitting on an equipment trunk, and we're all sitting around, and she's standing in front of Lenny, and Lenny's looking at. Now you got to picture this. Lenny's looking at her. He's making eye contact, and he's looking down at his crotch. Then he looks back up at her, and he looks back down at his crotch. And then he looks up at her and he gives her like a little head nod, smile, like, mm-hmm, you want some? It was fucking hilarious.
What a piece of shit.
Oh my God. He had some moments, but I got to tell you, he was probably the second, probably as smart as, the second smartest hitter I ever played with.
Hitter. I thought you were going to say person. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, Kurt.
No, hitter.
Yeah.
Have you ever asked him for investment advice?
No. Well, you know what? When he was playing, he was doing, you know, he built those car washes and he built them up into being a mm-hmm. huge business. And then apparently he leveraged it to the hilt, sold it, and ended up with like $12 from it because he had leveraged it so badly. And then he went straight into the shitter.
It's actually like they should do a 30 for 30 on the early 90s Phillies and the business acumen. You with your video games and Lenny with his investments.
The 93 team?
Wow.
Oh, my God, that 93 team.
That's like the 84 draft class right there of business guys. All right, let's call Lenny. Let's call him. Hold on.
We're giving him a ring right now, actually.
He's so awesome. Play his voicemail.
He doesn't...
It's a little bit early for Lenny right now. Yeah. It's like
3:30.
Yeah. Hey, Lenny. Lenny, it's the guy from Pardon My Take and Kurt Schilling. What's up, man? Lenny, we got Kurt Schilling here, too. You want to talk about some pussies?
Hey, Lenny, you remember that one time you showed that girl your dick in the locker room?
Hey, Lenny, you there?
That was awesome.
Lenny, you there?
Yeah, he's not.
No, he's there.
He's there. Oh, no, this is what he does. He kind of just sneaks on here, and then he pretends he's not there. Hold on, Lenny, I'm putting you on with Kurt. Kurt, say hi.
Kurt, hey, what's up?
Say what's up to Lenny.
What's up?
Lenny, we know you're there. You motherfucker, you little snake. There he is.
There he is.
What's up, Lenny? How you doing? Oh, that's Lenny right there.
I think he said suck my dick and then hung up.
The key with calling Lenny is he always like lays real low, and you gotta just kind of wait him out, and then you say suck my dick.
Hey,
so.
I gotta tell you, Lenny, we used to play golf for big money, and Lenny's rule was that you always had to allow, if he was down on 18, you had to allow him to go double or nothing. So we're playing one day, and we're going to 18, and Lenny is down 25,000 to Incavilia, 50 to me. He's down about 115,000 total to the three guys playing, right? We get to 18. We all tap in for par. Lenny's sitting two on the par four on the green. He's on two. He's 40 feet from the cup, and he's standing over the ball with his putter. And you remember how he used to hit? He used to like wave his fingers on the bat?
Yep.
He did that with his putter. He looks up, and you know how he has the lisp, right?
Yep.
So he's looking at us, he goes, hey, bros, you guys, this is terrifying. You see it, isn't it? You're watching me stand over this putt. I'm going to clutch up. He putts it, walks behind, and this is for 115 grand, double or nothing. Walking behind, it's a 30-foot putt. He's walking behind the putt with a putter in the air going, didn't I, motherfuckers, didn't I? Drained it.
Oh wow. That's Lenny. There
classic.
He is. Nails through.
Get himself
through.
Out of another sticky situation.
All right. Kurt, thank you for joining our show. We appreciate it. I'm glad we cleared it up. Although, if I understand correctly, we're just going to keep going with the story that you're using negotiating for dummies.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good. All right. All right with that.
Perfect. So we got to clear it up. All right. And next time you're in New York, I'm sure Dave will have you by the office, and we'll you can stop being such a triggered snowflake and actually meet us face to face. Yeah. So be careful. Don't try not to get as triggered anymore, okay?
I'll work on it, guys.
All right. All right. Okay. Thanks, Kurt.
Hey, take care, guys.
All right.
See you. Bye.
That interview was brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. And with baseball starting up and the NBA and NHL playoffs coming, SeatGeek will get you closer to the action. For a great value, I use it. I go find the SeatGeek app. You can see a whole map of the entire stadium. You figure out exactly where you want to sit. SeatGeek will tell you if it's a good deal or not. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available to you. So here's what we're going to do. For $20 off, you go right now. You download your SeatGeek app. It's totally free. And I'm giving you $20. Download that SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code TAKE. That's T-A-K-E. One more time, the promo code is TAKE. And you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right. Thank you to Kurt Schilling for joining us. You said it perfectly. The first like two things out of Kurt Schilling's mouth every time he talks are pretty sane.
Mm-hmm.
It's when he gets going that it's like, okay.
And he loves to talk is the thing. So
he loves to talk.
You can ask him a question, he'll start it by saying, I mean, when you see a baby, you say that's a beautiful baby. And you're like, yeah, I agree with you, Kurt. Right. Absolutely. Right. And then when you see like your daughter's friends and they're pretty good looking, why, you know, I'm not saying I would ever say that, but if I did, I would be okay with saying it.
Right. I believe in evolution. I just don't believe that two dogs can fucking have a human being. Like, well, okay. Wait, what? Okay. All right. Well, there we go. That also, not to pat ourselves on the back, but that was some fine Big J work by us. The old have a guest on, start a controversy, have the other guest on the podcast to defend themselves. Yep. That's how you do it, folks. That's how you do it. Hopefully, we can do the same with Mark. We need someone to bash Mark Cuban so that he can then come defend himself.
Ooh, what if we get Kyle Wilcher to bash Mark Cuban?
Yeah.
Mark Make Cuban's up some stories about him.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have Hey, JJ. People thought that once we did this deal with JJ Watt, we would take the boxing gloves off, put on the kitty gloves, start treating them all nice. Uh-uh.
Nope, not us.
So
you're thinking of the wrong podcast.
Yeah. So this was a story a couple days ago. JJ surprised his soon-to-be retired fourth grade teacher with a cake, a trip to Houston for the charity classic, and more. The cameras happened to be there. Hey JJ, that's really cool. That's a really nice thing you did there.
Hey JJ, I mean, we all have teachers that we look up to that kind of formed us into the people that we are. Sometimes it's nice to give back to them.
Yeah.
I don't get paid very much.
Yeah. Hey, JJ, it's really cool that you've kept that relationship with your teacher all these years. She probably had a really good impact on your life, and she's molding the future of this world. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Hey, JJ, it looked like you didn't even know that you were holding the camera on yourself when you were filming that.
Yeah. It was nice.
It was good. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, man. Hank, you want to go?
Yeah, okay.
Hank's a little confused.
Okay. Well,
he didn't realize what we were going to do when we go in there.
Yeah.
He
roasted.
Yeah. Wow. We got him. Yeah. I'll tell you what. It's all those people who thought we were going to be nice to him.
It's going
to
be awkward when we get in front of JJ. He listens to this.
Yeah. When we just fucking roasted his ass.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have a little fair play. Speak for yourself. The other day, they did a LeBron blame segment, which is ours. We stole from Michael Rapaport.
We took it openly from Michael Rapaport.
We told him we were taking it.
And gave him credit.
Yep.
So they stole it from us after we stole it from Michael.
Blatantly.
And so they've done it twice now this week.
Yes.
Where they have LeBron blames on there for different things that he does. And so that's a show. It's Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock.
Yep.
Totally different show from Mike and Mike.
Yep.
So they stole from us. We're going to do fair play back at them.
So you're going to be Colin Cowherd.
Right.
I will be Jason Whitlock. I'm actually putting on a bad radio. I'm putting on a fedora as we speak.
My Colin Cowherd impression is totally different than my Mike Greenberg.
Same with mine. Jason Whitlock, not Mike Golic. But I will be eating hot fries during this for my impression.
Jason, let me tell you, there's a difference between cities, okay? On the West Coast, you've got Portland. There's a lot of parents. In Memphis, where are the dads? There are no fathers in Memphis.
Jeff George should still have a starting quarterback job in the NFL.
Sean Taylor had it coming, Jason. You know it. Listen, this is big boy radio.
I'm a G. I love strippers.
This is big boy stuff. If you're a little namby-pamby, I'm not talking to you. You can hang up right now for all I care. Look at the Pac-12, right? We're talking conferences. The Pac-12 is the prom queen. The Mac is, she's got a great personality, but she's fat, okay?
All right. That was fair play. I think we nailed it.
That was pretty good. Cowherd's
big guy's got the look down for sure. Yes.
Cowherd's big on
Did you
saying,
call me Black Hank?
Ooh.
No, I was saying you got swag.
Hank doesn't see color.
Wow. What were you saying?
I was saying Cowherd's big on relating things in sports to different women that you would either want to fuck or not want to fuck.
But I'm big on that.
That's guy talk.
When I'm watching sports, I don't really understand what's going on. I know there's a ball, there's a hoop, whatever. Tell me if it's a chick I want to fuck. Mm-hmm. Now I get it.
Tell me if I should have a boner or not.
Yeah, right. I like my sports with a side of premature.
Poon-tang.
Yeah, little pre-cum. You know? That's how I like my sports. By the way, did I do okay?
Yeah, it was good.
It was very, very different than my goal of compression.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Let's do that makes sense. This one, we haven't done this in a while.
Mm-mm.
So Patrick Ewing was hired by Georgetown. A little disappointing because we thought Tom Crean was going to get the job. But Georgetown hired Patrick Ewing, and in his press conference, he said that he wanted to hire his son, but he can't because Georgetown has a nepotism clause.
Georgetown basketball has a nepotism clause?
Georgetown basketball has a nepotism clause.
Well, that makes sense.
40 out of the last 45 years, a John, what's his name?
John Thompson.
John Thompson, the third, or John Thompson. Did they skip it?
The second?
Did they skip one?
No. I think it was either John Thompson two or junior.
Where's John Thompson the first?
Yeah, I don't know. Ooh.
Let's get
that's a,
is he alive?
File that file that one away for a serial investigation. Yeah,
okay, but either way, John Thompson has been coaching Georgetown basketball for 40 of the last 45 years. They have a nepotism clause, though.
Mm-hmm. It also, it doesn't make a lot of sense because I think Georgetown's a Jesuit school.
Yes.
Wasn't Jesus the ultimate example of nepotism? Would Jesus have ever had any books written about him if it wasn't for his dad?
Exactly.
So a bit hypocritical of that.
Yep. What do you got, Hank?
John Thompson's John Thompson.
Thank you.
But the coach now was John Thompson III.
Thank you. Where the fuck is John Thompson II? That's what I'm saying.
This is blowing my mind right now.
Dude, where's John Thompson II? Have the John Thompsons in Georgetown been covering up a murder all these years, and we're the first to realize it?
Or was there a middle John Thompson that...
First John Thompson was John Thompson Jr.
Got it.
Okay.
So, kinda I was going to say maybe it was like one of those classic high school pranks where they set three pigs. Yeah, two pigs. It's one and three. Like, where's two? They set two John Thompsons out there and named them one and three, and we're all like, huh. All right. Well, I'm happy we got through that. That was a very nice moment for Pardon My Take right there. Next up, we have Thoughts and Prayers. This one goes to Adam Schefter, who got beat on the Marshawn Lynch scoop by a blogger.
Yes. Well, more than a blogger. A punter-blogger combination, right?
Yes.
He also works for us. But if you're a punter, you're a blogger. It's like a Russian nesting doll of different nerds that you can be.
Yeah.
Inside the third one is just like a 12-sided dice or something.
A mid-level accountant is what's inside Pat McAfee's Pat McAfee.
Yeah. So Schefter got all heated. Because he had to give credit, but he did his thing that Schefter always does, where he adds like one little small detail, and then it's his report.
Yeah.
So he's like, Marshawn Lynch was in Oakland, and my sources are telling me that they could get a deal done in the near future.
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay, so Marshawn Lynch, he went to Oakland on a visit. Oh, wait, so you're saying they might sign him?
Right.
Oh, okay. Good scoop, Adam.
Pat missed that near future thing.
Yeah. Pat, you got a lot to learn about being a journalist,
it's
buddy.
It's so good because we just know, both through inside words and just watching the TV, Schefter cannot stand losing even one single scoop.
Nope.
Drives him nuts. He's the guy who will now call, he'll call everyone at Oakland and be like, who the fuck told Pat McAfee that Marshawn was there?
Who talked to Pat?
Yeah, who talked to Pat?
I want you to fire them for me.
You think it was Punter Alliance?
It might have been.
It might have been Marquette, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Just text him, hey, man, Marshawn's here.
Yeah.
Might want to put the word out before Schefty beats you.
Hmm. Punter fraternity.
I hope that this turns into an alliance between every punter in the league and Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all feeding him all the scoops.
Yes.
And he's constantly using his punter connections to cuck Adam Schefter.
It would actually be the best story of 2016.
Yep. Pat, if you're listening, here's how I'll know if you listen to the show, Pat. Tell me tomorrow. Tweet at me.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I've got the alliance going.
We got it. The alliance. Send out the bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
The nerd signal. Last up, we have a PR 101. This one goes for Reds prospect Ian Cahalo.
Come on, dude.
Cahalo.
He's Hawaiian. Say it. Try saying it.
Ian Cahalo.
Cahaloa.
Ian Cahaloa. Was drafted in the fifth round of the 2015 amateur draft, and he got caught on Snapchat doing a line of coke.
While wearing a red shirt.
And drinking coke.
Mm-hmm.
So. Kind of a whole thing goes round and round. Yep. Nice sponsorship. Kendall Jenner, you're with the Pepsi guys. Well, guess what? This random Reds prospect, he drinks coke while doing coke.
Mm-hmm.
People forget coke used to have coke in it.
That's true.
Which probably isn't true, but...
No, it is true.
PR 101, though, you know who also did coke? 86 Mets won a World Series. So,
a lot of coke.
Yeah.
Maybe they should do more coke in Cincinnati.
Just saying, get that swagger back.
Yeah, less chili, more cocaine.
Yeah.
My suggestion, well, he's a minor leaguer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So minor league teams like to have fun with all sorts of wacky promotion nights, right? why not have a Coke night?
Yes.
And so instead of doing the relay races or the mascot race with a little kid around the bases, you give the mascot a vacuum, you give the little kid a vacuum, and then you see who can suck up the foul line the fastest on the way out to the outfield.
That's perfect. I love it. Either way, just this is actually a good segue to Jimbo's. When you're doing your Coke, kids,
don't wear your boss's logo on your shirt.
Oh, I was gonna say just don't videotape it, but yeah, I think you can wear your boss's logo if you don't videotape.
Right,
it.
It's an either or situation. Right. Pick one.
Right.
Videotape but it, but I'd don't start with, identify yourself.
I'd start with the don't videotape it. When you do your Coke, don't put it on camera.
Sometimes it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. It is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't, because right. if you don't put it on videotape, no one will know that you party.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you're a nerd.
Choose wisely.
Right. All right, Jimbo's.
First Jimbo is Coke-related. This okay. guy says he's a recovering Coke addict and fell down my stairs before a big golf tournament this weekend. Really hurt my lower back and had to withdraw. Now everyone thinks I relapsed.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Kind of a Jimbo.
Okay, Jimbo.
Who sent that one in? Was that a Pledge Bros
Wayne Gretzky
brother?
Actually okay, sent Wayne, it in.
Okay. I was at a gas station buying ice cream, and the door on the freezer was stuck. So I put my hand on top of the freezer while I pulled and sliced my wrist open. I still bought 2 pints of ice cream while I had bled all over Circle K.
Yeah. I like to minimize the amount of things that I touch inside a gas station.
Yeah.
That's kind of Mike Greenberg of me, but that's one place I'm not exactly going around like petting the walls.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
When I went with my friends downtown on St. Paddy's Day, I ran into my third grade teacher who we all used to have the hots for. Turns out she's now 40 and newly divorced. I grinded on her and got her number. Came home so excited and blackout drunk that I bragged about it to my girlfriend.
Mm.
Had to sleep on the couch for 2 weeks.
Probably shouldn't have done
well,
that.
Well, here's a little spin zone. If you have Bleacher Report tweet that out, then everyone will suck your dick and say that you're such a good humanitarian for grinding on your old teacher. Having the whole world go around. J.J. Watt.
What are you talking about? Oh, J.J. Watt. There you go. Yeah. That's a good point.
A buddy of mine randomly moved out and across... Fuck. A buddy of mine randomly moved... See, they write them wrong. They write them wrong. Like, I'm not reading them wrong. They write them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine, like, oh, shit.
You okay?
You've been sent out of this account. Oh, sorry. A buddy of mine randomly moved out and across the country last week without telling me or any of our friends. Turns out that he was being evicted from his place for months of unpaid rent due to spending all his money sports gambling. I was his bookie.
Mm-hmm. So you basically...
Can you be friends with your bookie?
No. That's the age-old question, and the answer is no.
Yes. It's a tough situation for the bookie in this situation, too, because there's almost like an implied thing that now that you know that he got evicted, he's going to be like, hey, man, I'm not going to ask you for some money back, but could you float me?
Yeah,
like that question's kind of out there now.
Well, here's the problem with being, you know, friends with someone who you're bookmaking for. At what point do you not realize, like, hey, this guy is giving me so much money, he has no money left, like, maybe have the friendship take over and be like, hey, don't worry about it, or I'm shutting your account off?
Exactly. It's a bad situation. It's like that question that was out there the other day. Can guys and girls be friends?
No.
Well, so...
Unless they're fucking.
Unless they're fucking, then they're really good friends.
Yeah.
And then, on the other hand, you have... Should a guy and a bookie ever be? That's the real question.
Yeah.
And I think for that one, it's actually a hard, firm no. Unless they're fucking.
Unless they're fucking. If you're fucking, you can be with anyone.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's it?
A lot of the same.
I actually have one here. Okay. So my buddy, he works with his boss's son-in-law. Okay? And he has been publicly calling his boss's son-in-law a cuck, which is also calling your boss's daughter a slut.
Oh, you got to know how that word
came about.
Got
to understand what the C word means here, guys. Can't go tossing
it out
willy-nilly.
Just throwing it out there. I have one. Actually, I have two. The first is the producer of the podcast I'm on got a huge tattoo on his inner thigh of a goldfish.
Yeah.
Huge Jimbo.
Big Jimbo on your part for having
that
guy produce the show.
I don't think that's a Jimbo.
Milmore got a tattoo?
No, we need to talk about it because Hank got a tattoo of Larry, so he is now the number one Larry fan. But let me ask you this. Was that a guilty conscience tattoo? Huh.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't.
Was someone a little guilty for Larry
And you think, talking, do you think people that get tattoos of people they love, is that all guilty conscience?
No, remind me something.
Are you calling all people with tattoos of someone murderers?
Remind me something, PFT. Who found Larry's dead body?
Well, it was Hank. And also during the tattoo, Hank was talking about accusing me of murdering Larry.
We didn't accuse you. We talked to Death, and she said.
That was Larry 1.
Was that a guilty conscience?
No, it wasn't.
All right. Okay, that's my gym.
I also don't appreciate you making fun of our goldfish of our dead. I thought we were on it together. I thought we all cared about him.
Listen, Hank, we're not going to tell everybody about how you cried during the tattoo. We're going to keep that between us. Yeah. And I'm just saying, maybe just back off the accusations towards me.
I didn't know how to bring up that you got a tattoo, but I thought we had to talk about it. I don't think it's Jimbo. My Jimbo, though, is I all day have been wearing a jacket that says BMW Motorsports, and everyone's like, damn. Is he so rich that he owns a BMW? And I kind of feel bad I'm swagging out on everyone. That's my Jimbo.
Can I tell you something? You don't really look like a BMW owner.
Okay, not yet, because I don't have a hat yet.
A BMW owner looks a lot like Theo Epstein with more product in his hair.
Yeah.
That's your BMW.
Maybe his Maui gym glasses are white.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. You're not at BMW level just yet. Give yourself another like 2 months on the diet.
Okay.
You'll be there.
All right, that's fair. All right, that was our show. We'll see you on Monday. Hopefully we'll have a good Masters recap. And we have Ernie Johnson on the show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Great interview with him. I don't know which day we're going to put it on.
Oh, before we go, I actually had somebody ask me this question the other day. They were walking down the street. They saw somebody wearing a Pardon My Take shirt. But they weren't wearing a Pardon My Take shirt. They didn't know how to like say what's up. They didn't know how to give a Jeep wave to them. So we need to figure out what a good Jeep wave would be.
BMW wave, talking my language.
Yeah, like maybe a finger in the nose, just like a quick pick or a dab.
That's a good idea. Just have people walk up to people and just tap their nose.
Well, you know what?
Let's tap on the side of your nose and then act like you have the sniffles.
Can we table this discussion and make sure we bring it up with our brand ambassador, Marlins Man? Because he knows how to brand. He's the one who came up with the idea to put a Barstool logo on a hat.
Also the guy that came up with the idea to sit behind home plate a lot.
Yes. So we'll table it. Next time we talk to Marlins Man, we'll ask him how we can get Pardon My Take listeners to notice each other.
Just grab their genitals. That'll be like an indication.
True. Locker room talk.
Yeah, just go up to him and start engaging in locker room talk.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Hey, tell him, hey, suck my dick.
Yeah. I think that's actually the answer. All right. We will see you on Monday.
I love you guys.
Presented by Bar Stool Sports.